This episode of Unqualified Opinions is brought to you by HireChain. Your next hire could come from anywhere, a recruiter, a job board, a referral network, or a conference. HireChain manages hundreds of candidate sources for you, so you only see relevant applications and can focus on picking the best person for your team. On average, our customers fill open roles faster and 30% cheaper than with traditional recruiters. Leading companies like The Graph and Messari already use HireChain. So get your time back. Talk to HireChain today and hire the best, fast. Visit hirechain.io/Messari for prioritized onboarding. This podcast is meant for informational purposes only and is not meant to serve as investment advice. Hosts and guests may hold cryptocurrencies discussed in this episode. Opinions expressed may not reflect the opinions of Messari.
Every industry finds itself subject to hype cycles and topics of the moment.
AI as a topic went from 0 to 100 just extremely quickly.
So there's this crypto buzzword going around recently, DPIN.
Right now, AI and DPIN are the it girls of crypto, as the general public returns some of their attention back to crypto thanks to Bitcoin headlines. They're still looking for quote unquote real use cases, and AI and DPIN are happy to oblige. But for those working in the decentralized finance corner of crypto, this is an unfamiliar feeling. In the past, when blockchains have grabbed mainstream attention, it was DeFi that was often cited as the real use case.
The essential difference between DeFi and TradFi is that those TradFi intermediaries are gone and they're replaced by a smart contract mechanism. And a smart contract mechanism just says, if this happens, then that will happen.
Especially popular were lending marketplaces like Aave and Compound, which allowed investors to invest in crypto with leverage, increasing both the reward and also the risk. This obviously isn't a new concept. It's a common piece of the TradFi market too. But when combined with the volatility of crypto prices, it led for very dramatic results, both gains and losses.
So we were building a protocol that we imagined holding maybe 30 million worth of value locked in smart contracts, ended up in the current state across all the networks. Is pretty much securing roughly 14 billion worth of value in the smart contracts.
But while attention has shifted away from these lending marketplaces and from DeFi as a whole, there are a few projects that have quietly identified ways to improve on Aave and Compound. While AI and DPIN are drawing mainstream headlines, the largest value drivers in crypto during this next cycle may come from a familiar face. I'm Kinji Steinmetz, and here's the story.
Messari's annual conference Mainnet returns this fall, September 30th through October 2nd. Now in its fourth year, Mainnet is the largest annual crypto event in New York, featuring leaders from crypto, Wall Street, and Washington. Join 3,000 attendees this year to hear from leaders like Kathy Wood, Hester Peirce, and Chris Dixon talk about what's in store for this year, 2025, and beyond. We'll cover the explosion of real-world assets on-chain, the industry's physical infrastructure, the codependent relationship of crypto and AI, the continued growth of smart contract platforms, acceleration of institutional products. We've got it all. Mainnet's your opportunity to meet hundreds of projects shaping the future of crypto and the institutional investors and capital allocators helping fuel their development. You can enjoy a 20% discount using discount code MessariPod when registering at mainnet.events. Interested in a prominent presence at this year's Mainnet? Snag a meeting room or a booth and contact events at Messari.io to explore all Mainnet has to offer.
Kinji, thanks for joining me.
Of course, thanks for having me.
You cover DeFi at Messari, and you've seen a lot recently.
Yes, a lot.
Like you said in your intro, when people first begin to understand crypto, they look for real use cases. And historically, one of the most popular places to point people to was lending protocols like Aave and Compound. And this wasn't just a bull market, zero interest rate phenomenon. Even during the recent bear market, those two protocols were still regularly doing $100 million of transactions each day. Can you just quickly remind people what they do that was so new and useful?
So on-chain lending marketplaces like Aave and Compound theoretically give crypto investors the ability to do three things. One is leveraged investing, where you're borrowing money that you then invest. Two, leverage yield farming, where someone can earn a greater yield on the assets they borrow versus the cost to borrow them in the first place. And three, short investing, or betting on a price to decrease. Now, these concepts aren't at all new. They all exist in traditional financial markets, but they're typically permissioned, meaning a financial institution needs to approve every borrower before they can receive a loan. To do this for every loan is time-consuming and costly to the banks, so these financial tools really aren't often used by the common investor. But by using crypto assets, which because they're on-chain can be instantly verified as legitimate, Aave and Compound and others created a way for that approval process to happen instantly and permissionlessly, which therefore makes them available to basically any individual who owns crypto. This was a real breakthrough, and it's obviously why they became so popular.
That makes sense. They're making these old, established products accessible to a lot more people and users.
You know, if you looked at a lot of the yield products that were in crypto at the time, and still, you know, really the most popular ones, it's all this over-collateralized lending protocols, things like Compound and Aave, right? And they've seen a bunch of success, but they serve actually a fairly narrow use case.
But you mentioned that they had some limitations. What are they?
So the first area for improvement gets at the most popular value prop of these protocols in the first place, which is increased purchasing power. Aave and Compound allow loan-to-value ratios of 70 to 80%, meaning if you put $100 of a collateral in, you can borrow an additional $70 to $80. This is considered fairly low and over-collateralized, especially compared to TradFi lending. If you went to Bank of America or Chase, you could theoretically borrow an amount significantly larger than your collateral base. This makes on-chain lending capital inefficient compared to traditional markets. The second area of improvement is asset diversity. If you want to borrow an asset from Aave or Compound, you really don't have that many choices. About 90% of lending activity involves ETH, USDC, or USDT. The same is true for posting collateral. These incumbent protocols only accept a few tokens.
Yeah, some obvious limitations there. It limits the number of assets a person can short, makes it inefficient for yield farming, and just broadly limits the market size these protocols can address.
That's right.
And it makes sense. This is the first iteration of this technology. So it's normal to expect new projects to take the next step. And you've been seeing some of those next steps emerge recently.
Crypto, as it is today, is really, really good at over-collateralized loans. And mm-hmm. that's because of the nature of an anonymous, like, Ethereum address, right? Like, an Ethereum mm-hmm. address doesn't know your identity, doesn't know who you are. Therefore, if you want a loan, like, how do you ensure to the protocol that you're going to repay that loan? You ensure that you're going to repay that loan by over-collateralization. Which yeah. is what you guys are kind of saying. It's like, well, that's kind of like antithetical to the whole concept of like a loan, because yeah, most people that need loans don't already have the money. That's kind of the whole point. So then we get into right. the topic of under-collateralized loans.
Yeah, so on the first problem of loan-to-value ratios, there are a number of new projects that are working to offer loan-to-value ratios of 10x the collateral, or up to $1,000 on the original $100 versus that $70 to $80 we mentioned earlier, which is much more in line with TradFi offerings. According to historical data collected by Messari, users on the protocol Gearbox have seen returns up to 7 times more than comparable strategies on Aave. Now, the trade-off is, in order to do this, these projects, referred to as under-collateralized lenders, have to keep control of both the collateral amount and the borrowed amount, unlike on incumbent protocols. But generally, this is a trade-off that a growing number of users are willing to make.
That makes sense. The vast majority of TradFi loans in the US are under-collateralized. Mortgages, car loans.
Right, so that's something crypto definitely had to eventually solve.
Right. Okay, so on the second problem?
On the second problem of limited asset variety, new projects have recently emerged using a different approach to organize their assets and therefore their risk. Incumbent projects typically held all deposited assets in the same pool, regardless of whether it was ETH, USDC, or any other asset, meaning every depositor holds the same risk regardless of what collateral asset they're supplying, and it proved difficult to add new types. So new projects are using a mix of isolated and pooled risk to easily accommodate new asset types while still operating within their risk requirements.
Obviously, Aave and Compound are aware of these limitations. So what are they doing to react, and is there anything they really can't address?
Yeah, of course they know. Aave has recently introduced isolated pools to be able to accommodate other assets, most notably other DeFi governance tokens like CRV and SNX. However, they can't entirely address the first problem of loan-to-value ratios. The difference between Aave, who doesn't control borrowed positions, and under-collateralized protocols like Blueberry, Stella, and Gearbox, who do, is a fundamental technical choice that each have made. Incumbents could, in theory, raise LTVs, which in turn raises the risk of taking on bad debt, but they won't be able to offer under-collateralized lending unless they maintain control of borrowed positions, which would involve creating a separate protocol entirely.
Okay, so it's not that they can't do it. It's that they need to basically start from scratch, just like any other challenger. So taking a step back, how should I think about how these new under-collateralized offerings fit into the broader DeFi environment?
So using historical data, our models show that under-collateralized protocols could potentially offer APYs reliably over 20%. And there just aren't that many other yield opportunities on Ethereum to earn returns that high. These new under-collateralized protocols definitely need to prove that they can remain stable as they get larger. The value of all industrial and commercial loans in the US was over $2 trillion at the end of 2023, so we've got a ways to go. But if they do, they could give people a product that looks a lot like something they're already familiar with, but with the added benefits of things inherent to public blockchains. Lower transaction fees, faster settlement times, fewer middlemen, anonymity, and broader accessibility. If you're a fund or an asset manager or just an individual saving for retirement, these protocols could eventually be a critical piece of an investment strategy. And the next time you buy a car, your loan may be facilitated by one of these protocols.
Kinji, thanks.
This episode was written and produced by Steve Bickemer, based on a report I wrote called A Lending Renaissance, written for Messari Enterprise Research Product in March 2024. To read more about DeFi, Aave, Compound, and the new protocol I think is best positioned to solve these problems, please consider subscribing to Messari Pro at messari.io.